Thank you so much, Andrea. WIHEAR stands for Women Influencing Health, Education, and Rule of Law. So thank you all so much for being here. I know that it is the last session. You're tired, your heads are full, and you're excited to go home. So I appreciate your continued energy and participation and attention today. The work that I'm here to describe is work that we conducted earlier this year when my organization, WIHEAR, partnered with the CORE Group, who won a USA Technical and Operational Performance Support, or TOPS, program microgrant. The purpose of our work was to develop technical materials to build the capacity of development practitioners working in nutrition and food security to design, implement, and evaluate gender-sensitive social and behavior change programming in order to improve nutritional outcomes for mothers and children under two. I know there's a lot of pieces there, so hopefully it will become clear. So over the next 20 minutes, I want to provide an overview of nutrition, food security, and gender. I'll also share with you the methodology that we use to create our results, our technical materials, and I'll highlight some key findings, critical actions, and best practices. But before we start, I'm just interested to know who's in the room. So can you do me a favor and raise your hand if you work in the area of food security? Nutrition? A lot. Gender? SBC? Anything else? And then another question, how well do you feel that your organization addresses gender in your programming? So from 1 to 5, if 1 being not very well, to 5 being very well. Raise your hand if your organization, for number 1, does not address gender very well. 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, good. Great. And then final question, what do you feel is the largest obstacle to addressing gender in programming? Just a couple of examples. Time? Capacity? Resources? Okay, yeah, a lot. So just a couple of examples. I have no disclosures to report. So some background. Food security requires physical and economic access to sufficient food to meet dietary needs for a productive and healthy life at all times. Households that are vulnerable to food insecurity often demonstrate poor nutrition outcomes. Malnutrition includes both undernutrition and overnutrition. Undernutrition, including stunting, wasting, underweight, and micronutrient deficiency, is the focus of our work and will be the focus of our conversation today. Nutrition is one of the critical drivers for economic growth and poverty reduction, making it a key component of promoting international stability and security. Nutritional status is an intergenerational phenomenon. Undernutrition during the critical 1,000 days from conception to a child's second birthday can result in lifelong, irreversible damage to women and their children. Research shows it can affect physical and cognitive growth, educational achievement, and productivity as adults. So to prevent these detrimental results and to break the cycle of poor nutrition, the 1,000-day window of opportunity has been identified as a critical period for ensuring adequate nutrition for women and their children. Gender inequality continues to place burdens on the nutrition and food security of pregnant and lactating women and their children. Twice as many women suffer from malnutrition as men, and girls are more likely to die from malnutrition than boys. The nutrition and food security needs of women and children are often neglected at the household level due to social, cultural, and economic inequalities. So for example, women and girls often receive lower quantity and variety of foods that is generally less nutritious than their male counterparts. Evidence shows that women's education, economic standing, social status, age, health, and decision-making capacity relative to men's are significant determinants of maternal and child health and nutrition. So due to their unique positions and roles in communities, both men and women have a critical role to play to improve nutrition within their households. These roles and related practices must be addressed in social and behavioral interventions. So how can we tackle this problem sustainably? Gender-sensitive social and behavior change approaches to improve nutrition outcomes are powerful tools in the battle against food insecurity. Gender-sensitive FDC approaches are behavior-centered approaches that identify, consider, and account for the different needs, abilities, and opportunities of women, men, boys, and girls. To facilitate households, individual, group, and communities to adopt and sustain evidence-based practices, as well as to transform the environment within which behavior change occurs. Such approaches are essential for increasing optimal nutrition practices and increasing demand for and utilization of services and commodities. Addressing gender also allows us to make effective linkages across sectors spanning health, agriculture, food security, women's empowerment, and economic empowerment, among others. Gender-based FBC interventions are not separate or autonomous activities that have to be added onto programming. Instead, it should be a functional approach to programming that needs to be integrated within all components to enhance effectiveness. So we understood how gender influences nutrition and food security, and we saw a promising yet untapped approach to addressing the problem. However, we couldn't find adequate resources to inform our programming. We sought to fill that gap by creating a set of technical materials to build the capacity of development practitioners to plan, implement, and evaluate gender-sensitive FBC programming in order to improve nutritional outcomes for pregnant and lactating mothers and children under two. We wanted to make sure that practitioners understood the importance of gender-sensitive FBC and had easy access to relevant resources and tools in order to strengthen their work. So to ensure that our research materials were evidence-based and practical, we conducted substantial background research. First, we developed a literature review of academic, white, and gray literature regarding FBC and gender in the nutrition and food security sectors, with a focus on understanding well-recognized, evidence-based interventions that impact nutrition during the 1,000-day window of opportunity. Next, we conducted a project audit of 30 completed and ongoing projects to determine how these FBC approaches were being applied in development programs that jointly address nutrition and food security to improve maternal and child nutrition outcomes. We were particularly interested in those that utilize gender-sensitive approaches as well as multisectoral approaches. We also conducted 11 interviews with practitioners working on audited projects as well as experts in the field of nutrition and food security to learn more about their experiences in gender-sensitive programming, as well as any best practices, lessons learned, and resources and tools they could share. So as a result of our efforts, we created these results, the technical resource guide, as well as a technical brief. And I actually brought a couple of copies if you're interested. We also produced a webinar on the topic that was aired earlier this year. So these materials review or present the rationale, critical actions, best practices, resources, and tools relevant to planning, implementation, and evaluation of gender-sensitive FBC approaches, as well as gender mainstreaming within organizations in order to improve nutrition outcomes during the 1,000-day window of opportunity. And these materials are definitely relevant to a wide variety of countries and settings. The technical resource guide is much thicker and much more comprehensive, so it has some additional information such as definitions, case studies, as well as a complete list of resources, tools, and references. So I want to share some of the findings that we uncovered in our research. So first, malnutrition can be greatly reduced through the delivery of simple interventions encouraging specific behaviors at key times during the life cycle. For the mother, that can happen during pregnancy, and for mother and child, during delivery, infancy, and early childhood. This table lists some examples of the behaviors that have the potential to improve maternal and child health and nutrition, as well as reduce mortality. Many of these practices are part of the essential nutrition actions and essential hygiene actions, which are a set of FBC interventions to improve maternal, newborn, infant, and young child health. By implementing specific interventions at different levels, such as interpersonal or family approaches, community-level approaches, mass media, or structural approaches, participants can demonstrate key changes in knowledge, attitudes, and skills, which can lead to changes in key behaviors and practices. While there are too many potential gender-sensitive SBC interventions to list, this table highlights a number of well-recognized multi-sectoral gender-sensitive SBC interventions that impact nutrition during the first 1,000 days. There's considerable variation in how these interventions are implemented. Evidence suggests that using multiple SBC interventions to change behavior is more effective than using only one. Such interventions may have different target groups, content, messages, scale, length, and intensity. They should aim to cut across sectors in order to harmonize interventions, messages, and resources. So I want to move to talk more about the critical actions that we uncovered. And throughout the next couple of slides, you'll see the bullets that are in italics refer to the best practices that were suggested by practitioners working in these areas. So during program planning, projects should conduct a gender analysis and SBC formative research. A systematic study of differences in the local context relative to men, women, boys, and girls should inform all project activities and strategies. Analyses should use both quantitative and qualitative data and should happen ideally before a project begins. Practitioners suggest that projects interview men, women, boys, and girls to get all relevant perspectives during formative research in order to understand relevant gender dynamics in the community. Projects should also go beyond targeting and counting women. They should ensure that project objectives and SBC interventions identify gender needs and gaps, with an emphasis on leveraging existing gender equity as well as increasing women's participation in project and community activities. Projects should consider roles in the household as well as in the community. Practitioners suggest that projects aim to transform gender relations to make a lasting difference in addition to impacting maternal and child nutrition outcomes. In response to the pervasive and complex health, social, and behavioral determinants to undernutrition and illness, innovative interventions should incorporate multiple sectors, such as agriculture, health, WASH, education, social protection, economic strengthening, and women's empowerment in order to maximize impact. During program implementation, projects should engage a range of influential change agents, such as husbands, fathers, mothers-in-law, grandmothers, religious leaders, and health workers, in order to positively contribute to maternal and child nutrition during the first 1,000 days. Also, local champions who understand and can communicate these issues can contribute greatly to efforts. Since men and women play different roles in guaranteeing the nutrition and food security for their households and communities, they both need to be engaged in project activities. Projects need to examine and address the unique needs and preferences of males and females when implementing such activities. In particular, they should challenge gender norms in gender-specific nutrition and food security practices. They need to respect or address overstretched workloads, which is a particular concern for women. And they need to maximize the adoption of labor and time-saving technology, such as mobile phones, water wells, and tanks, for example. Projects should review project messages and materials, including images and characters, to ensure that gender considerations are included where appropriate. All gender-sensitive SBC projects require a range of practical, focused, and user-friendly messaging and materials related to project content that cater to the unique identities and abilities of the broad range of project stakeholders in order to reduce knowledge gaps and change behavior. One project that we talked to developed an internal checklist with input from stakeholders to ensure that messages and materials were gender sensitive. Perhaps most importantly, interventions should do no harm. Issues related to gender and culture can be very sensitive and can lead to unintended negative consequences. Projects should monitor all gender sensitive SBC interventions to ensure that risk to men, women, boys, and girls is not created or increased, and all issues should be addressed promptly. So during monitoring and evaluation, projects should be collecting and analyzing sex disaggregated data as well as gender-sensitive indicators where feasible and relevant. Such data should be regularly monitored and analyzed to identify discrepancies between males and females in access to services and outcomes, for example. Practitioners recommend that project teams conducting monitoring and evaluation activities and project beneficiaries sampled in such data collection are comprised of both males and females. A broad and evidence base is needed. Due to limited research on the impact of gender-sensitive SBC programming, more intensive and rigorous research is critical for creating behavioral interventions that are effective and sustainable to help achieve progress in maternal and child nutrition. Such data is critically important for scaling up those approaches as well as for institutional learning. Practitioners suggest that since SBC related to gender is an ongoing long-term process, M&E of gender-sensitive SBC programs should continue after implementation if possible in order to measure sustainable change. To contribute to the global knowledge base, projects are encouraged to document and share successes, failures, best practices, and lessons learned. Findings need to be shared internally as well as externally to inspire changes in approaches and to cultivate a deeper understanding of local gender issues and responses. So in addition to the critical actions we identified within the project cycle, organizational factors are also important to ensure the success of gender-sensitive SBC approaches. Gender mainstreaming is the process of incorporating a gender perspective into organizational policies, strategies, and administrative functions, as well as into the organization's institutional culture. Improving gender equality at an organizational level strengthens the impact of gender-sensitive SBC programming. While a range of actions are required, we want to highlight three that came up in our research. First, organizational leadership should be supportive of and committed to gender issues. Gender mainstreaming needs to be prioritized by leadership and given the space required to be effective. Gender strategies, policies, and tools need to be communicated effectively and made accessible by all staff. Practitioners suggest that in addition to leading gender across project activities, the gender point of contact should be a core member of the project implementation team. Organizations should also consider gender issues within the hiring process and the workplace. Gender roles and norms influence workers' positions, work conditions and terms, and performance, and should be accounted for in order to recruit and retain the robust workforce needed to improve nutrition outcomes. Organizations should also build the capacity of all staff to address gender in areas such as how to conduct gender analyses or how to collect and analyze sex disaggregated data. In addition, all staff should be encouraged to critically reflect on the impact of gender in their own lives. Practitioners suggest that fieldwork be regularly conducted in order to understand gender issues, and that all findings are shared with staff to inform programming. So I know this picture is way too small to read, but consider it a teaser to check out our complete materials. But just to point out that our resource guide and brief incorporate a long list of resources and tools related to gender-sensitive SBC that can be applied to specific components of the project cycle, as well as gender mainstreaming and overarching guidance. So in conclusion, gender-sensitive SBC approaches to improve nutrition during the first 1,000 days are power yet underutilized tools in the battle against food security. But things are slowly changing. More donors and programs are adopting gender-sensitive multi-sectoral approaches to promote gender equality and the adoption of healthy nutritious behaviors. While there are clear actions needed to make SBC programs more gender-sensitive, the specific approaches and materials used must be tailored to the local context. While the evidence base demonstrating the impact and cost effectiveness of gender-sensitive SBC approaches is growing, more efforts need to be made to ensure such approaches become an integral component of all programs to help achieve improved outcomes at a wider and bigger scale. It's essential that project managers and implementers make sure that gender-sensitive SBC interventions cause no harm to men, women, boys, and girls by regularly monitoring activities and addressing all potential issues immediately. Transforming habits and preferences around food and care utilizing gender-sensitive SBC takes effort, research, and resources, but they have the potential to make an invaluable contribution to the health and well-being of men, women, boys, and girls. So I just want to acknowledge the wide range of colleagues around the globe that contributed to this work. And finally, just to thank you again for your keen interest. Again, these materials are available online, and I encourage, and a couple of hard copies over here. So I encourage you to check them out, and feel free to reach out to me directly if you have any questions or need support in ensuring your projects are gender sensitive. Thank you.